8:58, and I think the clock is slow. We're going to go ahead and start the meeting, scheduled for 6 p.m. Mr. Ashley, will you please establish a quorum for us?
Okay. Dave Stewart.
Here.
Rick Cadill. Randy Cummins.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Sarah.
Yes.
Sean Pingleton is not here. Susan Martin.
Here.
And Carl Pride.
Okay. And we do have a quorum.
Okay.
And then would you like to explain the procedures for tonight's meeting, which is a vote meeting?
Okay. The Taney County Commission regular meeting is held for final approval on each Division III application presented at the previous Monday's public hearing and to hear new concept requests to be presented at next month's public hearing. Final votes will be heard first. Each project will be reviewed and decided upon by the Commission. There are no sign-up sheets at this meeting, as no additional public comments are being taken unless expressly requested by the chairman or the commission. If you do not accept the decision of the commission, you may appeal to the Board of Adjustment. Applications for the Board of Adjustment are available in the planning office. Concepts will be heard following the final votes. If you're presenting a concept at this meeting, your name or the name of the project will be called. At that time, please come forward and address the commission. Your proposal will be heard, and additional documentation may be requested for the public hearing next month. No public comment will be heard at this meeting, with the exception of the applicant or persons with information requested by the commission. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you very much, Bob Ashley.
Okay. First item on the agenda is approval of the March minutes, March 14th and March 21st. Assuming, again, that you have read those minutes. Would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of March 14th and March 21st.
I make a motion.
Okay, Susan has made, and Mr. Cummings has seconded. All those in favor of approving the minutes of March 14th and March 21st, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Let's move to the final votes, and the first item on the agenda is the Hayman subdivision. This, again, is where Mr. Linkus, I believe. And is Mr. Linkus here? Okay. You may want to come forward here. because what you're asking to do is split off an 11-acre tract of land, basically. Okay. And so questions for Mr. Linkus, please. Remember that this was a family farm, if I remember correctly. And what you're asking is to purchase...
Correct.
This tract of land after it is identified as 11.03 acres. That's right. Okay. And the tract that we're talking about is?
I'm sorry. That's the tract right here.
Right. Uh-huh.
This is the piece that's being split.
It's
right here.
Okay.
And this is how it will look when it's finished.
Okay. And you're intending to build on that?
No.
You're not at this time. Okay.
He already owns this 5 acres up here.
Okay. So we don't need to worry about easements or landlocking that particular piece of property.
This is a planted road up here.
Down JJ Highway. Okay. Okay. Questions for Mr. Linkus? Okay. Anybody willing to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve it as presented.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve this lot split, which is basically what it is, as it has been presented to us. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? There you go.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's move on to the second one, which is the Happy Hollow Resort. This is down off of 86, I believe. Mr. Cox is here as the representative again. And this is where they're wanting to move a building, move in a double wide. This is a project that is under contract now, so there's a new owner coming in here for the Happy Hollow Resort. Questions for Mr. Cox, their representative? Okay. Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the Happy Hollow Resort request. Was this a special use?
No, ma'am. Okay. This is strictly just increasing the density. If I can, just for a second, where we were going to, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, we split this property off. So you saw this resort down there, mm-hmm. and you approved it to be on a little bit smaller tract of land than it had been originally. And we didn't, this existed pre-planning and zoning and everything like that. So in order to increase density here, we had some issues. You know, like we talked about two different septic systems and stuff like that. So the engineering work was done to ensure, you know, this could all tie in together. But we're actually increasing density of this resort by one unit. Okay. It'll be permanent for
and I guess my question, even though there is a motion and a second to the motion, are we at all concerned with limiting this project in any way, shape, or form, or knowing full well that if they did things, they would have to come back before us again?
That would be my position. I don't want to speak for Mr. Ashley or anything like that, but what we've got up here is we've got a known size of a resort and everything like that. That's why it's before you this time, because we are increasing density of what you'd approve to be on that acreage.
Okay. So there is a motion and a second to approve this project as it has been requested. The question?
Do we... And I just would like some input on this. Do we need to put a limitation on this? Or
and that's what I just asked in the field.
Okay, and that was just what Eddie said. That was what he was suggesting, and that's why I wanted to make sure that I understood him correctly.
I think so.
If there's an increase of density, just like there is now, doesn't it?
Well, I think Bob and I would both interpret this is that it would need to come back because this was approved as it sat.
Okay.
And normally, in all the projects that we do in Kane County, we limit by buildings and by units.
Okay.
And so since we'd approved this one for as it sat, and this was an increase, that's why they had to come before you.
Okay. Clarification then for you?
I'm fine.
Okay. Question? All those in favor of the motion as presented, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? There you go.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Charles and Shirley Barnes are looking again for a lot split. I do want to share with you that Mr. Barnes asked if he could be moved to first place, and that could happen if a legitimate reason was given that that needed to happen. And I asked him why, and he said because he wants to get home to watch the Pickers show on television.
We all have a passion.
If it had been the Cardinals or something like that, that would have been reasonable. Okay. So what we're dealing with here is a lot split for real estate purposes.
And you're also looking at to be split along these lines here.
Uh-huh.
It does meet, you know, the requirements. He does have to have a plat made still, and he also knows that a little bit of additional road frontage is going to have to be given on that plat as it's drawn. So,
okay,
it does have access off of both Hickory and off of Highway 160, but the existing house that's going to be in the front will be does access off of Highway 160. That is its 911 address.
Okay,
and as we talked about last week, of course, it can't be done until.
Nothing can be split until we're all done here and the house is on sewer and that kind of thing.
Right.
Okay. And the sewer is down...
It's coming down Hickory Street.
Hickory. And coming down Hickory.
And you know that they are also at the same time, I believe, update the water, which is being donated to the city of Forsyth also.
And that will be done at the same time. That's our understanding of the sewer and the water.
Further questions for Mr. Barnes?
I have just one question from, and looking at the map that we've got in front of us, this seems to be the only lot split in the area. Just nobody else wants to split their lots or?
They couldn't because there wasn't there wasn't central sewer.
Okay, but now that there's central sewer, then it's... Right. Okay.
Yeah, all of these lots were just about an acre, seems like. And, of course, they were locked in under our original. But as the sewer comes through, you see a lot of this begin to happen. So you may see more requests like this in the future. Mm-hmm.
Chuck has always been known as ahead of... You know,
ahead of his time. Yes, indeed. Okay. Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we accept this proposal as submitted. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor of approving this project as submitted to us, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Barnes, there you go.
I will make it.
So are we doing okay on time? Program comes on 7, or at 7, is that when it comes on?
It's actually the rerun start at 6.
It's a rerun that you're trying to get to. Okay. Well, happy evening to you. Okay, let's see. We have Steve Dickey here, and this is the fishing project, Angler's Advantage down on Acacia Club Road. And what you're trying to do, this is a special use project, and you're asking to move the business into the long building there for very limited numbers of people. You are a private guide, am I understanding that correctly? And you bring people to your residence and get into your boat and go on fishing expeditions.
I'm not that's really private. I guide the resorts too.
Okay.
Down there also.
Okay.
More for the resorts than myself, but some for myself. Okay. That's what I like to do.
Yeah. And you understand that a special use permit goes to you, not with the property. Okay. Any questions? Well, this may be the easiest evening we've had in a long time, and it's because Ray Edwards is back.
Yeah, I know, right?
Is there anybody who wishes to make a motion on this project?
I'll make the motion that we approve.
Okay. Is there a second?
No second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we accept Angler's Advantage and the proposal that goes with that. Is there any further discussion, questions, clarification?
Just a note, and I know I asked you about it last week, but if you're not going to be entertaining other than your normal family entertainment on that back deck.
Correct.
Like your guests.
Correct.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I just wanted to confirm.
And why are you asking that question?
Well, you know, sometimes you might, and you already told me, you know, you go to the landing or whatever for lunch, but a lot of times you're not going to be cooking there, and... And that just brings a different thing. If you just bring guys in and out to go to the boat.
Yeah, we've never done that.
That's really low impact. I didn't figure you were, but I just... Okay.
Okay. Question? All those in favor of accepting Angler's Advantage proposal as a special use project, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? There you are. Mr. Dickey. Happy time. Okay. Won't you miss coming to Forsyth every?
Your husband's vacation is my first time involved like this.
Okay.
It is neat to see.
And quite interesting.
Okay. Enough to go down to the pothole.
Okay, let's move on then to the concept part of our evening: the Underhill Heights, the stables at Integrity Hills, and the Brass Lantern. Okay, so who do we have here? Who do we have with representatives? Do we have Jason Broder, Underhill Heights?
I believe are you here to represent this one? Or?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't think you have a representative.
Okay, so again, do we table or do we just pass over?
Well, since this is concept,
I was just going to ask you how you handled
that. Well, what I would tell you is we get with them and push them back to next month and they'll come to concept again. But, I mean, there's been no posting of the properties or anything that have occurred. They just lend themselves to getting done next month. Okay. Yeah, they'll be pushed off.
Now, there has been history because we start at 6 o'clock. that they think it's seven, but you don't think that's the case here.
The last 2 months with another project.
That representative.
Yeah. And he's the one passing
okay.
the information.
Oh, that
representative. It's not my mistake.
Okay. So. Okay. Then let's move on to the stables at Integrity Hills.
Okay.
And Mr. Eddie Wolf is the representative for this project.
Work where you need bigger.
No, it work like that. You got your little.
And here's the pointer. Sorry about that.
This one here, this property right here was brought through Division 3 and approved for cabins, condominiums, clubhouse in there. It was several, I think it's a couple hundred units or maybe more, something like it's large. We had a bunch of real big buildings down here that had 30, 40 units in them. Anyhow, Rob Voss and Gary Shaver bought that piece of property when we ran that through because it was approved in there for a residential subdivision originally in there along that road, and the developer ran into problems, so they bought the property. Well, Rob Voss owns all of this area here in there completely. And it's just like a joint property. Well, right here on top of the hill right there, he built his chapel. We brought that through Division 3, and he wanted his resting place in it. And, you know, and he did. He built a really nice chapel. I don't know if anybody's been down there or watching, see it from the lake or whatever. So he put the parking lot, the sewer, and everything in there for that. Well, here back about a year ago, work got really slow for Gary Shaver. He's under does construction and everything, so they come over here and got a building permit for a stable. And they proceeded to build a building right there that they call the stables, and it's basically a reception hall for his chapel because he does weddings out there. And that's what it's for. When brought this before Eddie, because he called me to come in and cut him a 2-acre tract out here around the building to meet county code. And I got with Eddie about it there, and they didn't have the correct building permit for it. Division 1 should have been in Division 2. Is that correct, Eddie?
Yes. With the original permit that was pulled was for a non-habitable structure.
Right.
And everything, and there was a Division 1. Our application says a barn, and it turned into a little more than that.
Yeah,
actually, a commercial structure is what we have.
Yeah. So anyhow, what we're asking for is on this here is to be able to take a 2-acre track out. We're going to do a 50-foot road all the way in here to it to meet county code. And we just want to plat out that 2 acres there around that building and split this property, which facility will actually be used in conjunction with the chapel there for the reception hall is what it is. The hall is not used all the time. It's only when they're doing weddings and stuff there at the chapel. And most of the time, that's usually on a weekend. That's what it is. But that's what we're asking for, is permission to do that. And I sent a plat over to Eddie and showed the 2 acres where the road easement coming into it. And that's about all I can tell you.
So the building is already there.
It is completely built.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Bob, it's just my habit. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
And you know, when this project was approved, we approved so many acres for all these duplexes. So this will definitely have some kind of impact on that.
Mm-hmm.
So
you would have to take density out.
You said we're going to have to work on some density there. You don't need to be aware that this was a very, very large, had a lot of duplexes and several other things in
there. I think there was a bunch of cabins in there. Yeah. The duplexes for this building set.
But they will bring you the information on that in your packet and things that you can.
And this is south of 86.
Yes, it's south on 86 down on Tate Road.
Okay.
If you know where Stowett Mini Storage is, Mr. Stowe used to come in here all the time. You turn right there, that's where Tate Road is, and straight on the.
I know where the Cove Red Bluffs at.
Right
out
of where their base site used to be.
Or the property.
There's two existing houses out there.
I know where the Cove Red Bluffs at. That's all I need to know.
Is that where the fishing is?
Yeah, I'm going to check it out from that side.
Yeah, If nothing ever happened on it, is that permit still alive? I mean,
the Division 3 land use changes stay there unless there's a significant change to the original request, which is something that you'll want to address as you go through.
Well, I haven't been here for a little while. It used to. It went away after.
It did. That was changed in November mm-hmm. of last year. This board worked on that so that our Division 3 permits now stay in effect. They don't have to be renewed. Your Division 2 and Division 1, which are actually construction permits, have to be renewed on an annual basis. And basically the thought was being we're granting land use change, which is a zoning, basically a zoning use change.
And the reasoning being?
Because we're granting a zoning use change for this, and if we change the zoning, there's no reason for it to revert back to something else.
If nothing's done, though, whenever the applicant or whoever owns it finally does something, they have to meet current code.
Right.
They're not grandfathered.
Yeah, they meet current codes.
Whatever, if road changes, change.
And if there's significant changes, then it comes back to you. This is going to be, I'd say, a pretty significant change because you're chopping 2 acres off the original approval.
But I
wanted to tell you that's something you're going to want to address as you go through this in the coming months.
Would you like me to bring a copy of what, or email over a copy of what was approved?
We've got
I've got a copy here.
Then he goes over a copy that would be adjusted with that 2 acres out of to take the density out.
I would think you'd have to do that part.
Okay.
But if you're wording
that road has to be taken
plan.
Into consideration too, won't it, Eddie?
The road's basically the same place as it was on the other one.
Oh, is it? Okay. So it won't change it.
It's basically following the existing road that's been there forever.
Okay.
Eddie, Lot 1 that you're putting that on, you know, that's the stables are already on. You're calling it Lot 1. I'm looking at this thing here. I guess you're calling it Lot 1. The 2.06 acres.
Yeah, it'd be right there.
That's just to the south of that. Is that a residential subdivision?
The chapel says it's right there. And this other building says right there.
Is the rest of that subdivision residential? Is that going to abut?
We brought it back and changed the zoning for the chapel.
Okay. So it's basically a button against commercial. You know where I'm going with that. So there's not
going to be against the commercial operation there now.
Okay.
Is the chapel commercial?
I don't know how you zone that. You come through Division 3 and
churches
require a Division 2, don't they?
Churches don't normally have, but he didn't come through here because he wanted to do a mausoleum.
Right, that was different than what
he wanted to start doing the weddings in there. Now, originally, he wasn't going to have any sewer out there.
Right.
Remember that?
Yep.
There wasn't going to be a place for the bride to change or anything like that. Well, it grew a little bigger than that, and then I'm guessing he, according to what Mr. Wolf has said, he did go ahead and put in the sewer system. I'll have to check with the sewer district to see how that all got
through. Yeah, he put the sewer system in.
And I think this new building is tied into the same sewer system that was put in for the chapel.
Okay. Just to my question is just if it abuts any residential, you know, our tour normal practice
there
is to have buffering.
The only residential houses that are in here.
Well, residential zoned. I'm not just houses that exist. But
there's a residential lot right there.
Yeah, you can see how this is platted here.
Right.
And Bob owns every one of these.
But they're still residential.
They're platted residential.
He could sell one tomorrow.
That's correct.
Okay.
And there's some here across the road. There's a, I think that's what a cell tower says right there.
Yes.
And the rest of it is just raw ground right now.
Okay.
And then these homes out here existed when you approved the... multi-family units out
there. This house here was probably 80% finished when Gary Shaver had bought it, and they went in there and finished the house out.
Okay.
And where is his house? Is that his
Rob
house?
Austin.
Uh-huh.
Rob Austin lives right there.
Okay. And he's the owner of the chapel
right there.
Yes. And he built a house in here for his mother, too.
Okay. He sold a lot off at one time and then went and bought it back because he decided that he didn't really want to be doing this.
Looks that way. Okay. He pulled a permit to build stables, but it ended up being more than a barn. So you could put a barn on your own property
right
there.
For $150,000 and we'll send you $200,000 for it to get it back.
Yes.
Okay, that's...
It looks like it's flush, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about
okay.
Right.
So we'll go forth with that then. but definitely will need exactly where the land use change happens.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Wolf, because I would assume that there will be considerable discussion with the next project, and because Mr. Brawner has arrived late, but he's arrived, so that's a good thing. Let's go back to... What was this?
Underhill Heights.
Underhill Heights. Okay.
While he's coming, I'll remind you, several years ago, we approved this area here for, I believe it was duplex units, maybe in fourplex, I can't remember, but it was multifamily units, and there was like eight buildings, it seemed like six or eight buildings.
And
at the time we discussed this, this was going to be potentially an older...
Senior,
that's the word I was looking for. You had to be a certain age to be allowed to live there.
He's not a marketer.
So, I'm sorry.
And we're getting sensitive.
As you know, this project hit right at the time when the bottom began to fall out of everything. And so there's several buildings out there, one almost totally finished, one pretty close to finished, and there's, I think, another one started. I can't remember. But
there's one building that's finished, one building that's about 60% complete, and then two more foundations, and then the rest are just a lot.
And so they're coming through now to see if they can entertain nightly rentals out there, and if they go to finish this out in a way to help recoup their investment and get this thing moving. So, but that's all I know.
And you will have pictures and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about these things. Okay, request for nightly rentals.
Yes, ma'am.
So these are going to be rental properties.
Yes, ma'am.
But not necessarily. Are they commercial rental properties? Well,
no,
that's a dumb question.
I mean, in the sense of what I think you're thinking.
Well,
not
I'm headed toward timeshare, but that's not what you're going to do with this. No, you're just going to have the ability to rent them out on a nightly basis.
Yes, ma'am.
So is this going to be a hotel or motel?
It's I don't even know what they call them, where they're individually owned by individual owners, which makes sense, but they have the ability to let them out.
So these would be like, for the original owner, like a vacation home?
Correct.
And when they're not here, you'll have basically some
correct.
Sort of on-site management program
correct.
To let them rent those out.
Correct. So, right, not a timeshare, but a...
A vacation rental by owner
correct.
Kind of thing is what you're dealing
yeah.
with here. Again. I remember this project, and it's been, what, 4 years ago or
it's
so?
Okay.
And I remember that there were some residents who were not particularly happy with this project. Do you remember what their concerns were and... How are you and the neighbors getting along now, I guess,
well,
is the question.
All good questions. The concerns were that, from what I remember, some of us in the room were here as well, that it is a rural area, and that we were going to be bringing a lot of traffic through, and that was going to disturb the peace, I think. As far as how we're getting along, I've met and talked with a few neighbors. There's, you know, as you might have guessed over the years, with it being unfinished, there has been quite a bit of vandalism. And so I don't want to attribute that to the neighbors, but I don't think it's been from my just from stuff being left. I think it's.
Mm-hmm.
So
total number of units when this project is built out, where are you now? And how does that differ from the original?
It differs none. The plan was for 14. The plan still is for 14. My hopes are that I can recreate interest if I do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm way over my head.
I'm trying to find a creative way that we can still make good use of the property, and you know, for so that I can recoup some funds out of it, number one, but also too, so that it's not, it doesn't remain in its current condition.
That's all in a residential area, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
There's no one living there currently?
No, sir.
And the neighbor houses, there's...
You have the... I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
You have the one building built, finished.
Yes, sir.
And it's got four units in it?
It's got two units.
It's got two units.
Each building is it has two units. It's a duplex type.
Duplex type thing. Okay.
Yes.
And what you want to start to do is move forward with the one building. And then, if it works, expand from there.
Yes, sir. With this concept, sell the first building, first two units, finish, because it's on Cavanaugh. The first two are on Cavanaugh.
Mm-hmm. Right here and they're right there.
Correct. And the next two that are 60% are next door on Cavanaugh. So it would be to sell the first two, step next door, finish those out, and sell those, and then on down the hill.
But they're not nightly rental, are they?
Not currently.
No.
But that's what he's requesting. So you're really kind of... I'm trying to figure out exactly what you are asking us to rule on.
These are condominium style of ownership, and they were permitted for whole ownership. Okay? Nightly rental basically becomes a business property. When these were built out, they would and owned by other people, they would show residential. Nightly rental is a special use permit in our code book, and it does become a business property. Normally, you have some extra regulations you put on a developer, such as an on-site management company, and you try to make sure that you've made arrangements to handle extra vehicles as far as trailers, jet ski trailers, things like that, when the situation goes, and that the tenants would have a number to call or a person to see in the event of emergency. But this would be similar, I guess I'm trying to think, this would be similar to the cabins that you have out at Oakmont or the golf course that was owned by there. All those little cabins out there are individually owned, whole ownership, but they are not in their law.
It would be like the ones on Lakeshore where the guy put them in and the bank took it over.
That is correct. And then also down on Pete Highway with Branson Canyon, if you remember, they came through building the freestanding individually whole ownership condominium, but each one of those owners had the right to put it in, up to 80% of the people, to put that into a rental program. Not to be confused with Holiday Hills, where they build their building and people buy a week or whatever, or they can come in and rent it however they would choose, but they own a portion, or they own some, I don't know what they're selling now, a certain amount of points or something like that, mm-hmm. that lets them stay in different buildings. So this would be, when you're all done, unless he becomes part of the contract to be the on-site management or whatever the case might be, he would sell this out to individual owners, say every one of you on there, and then those owners could come and stay in whenever they wanted to, but then they could rent it to people a couple nights.
And unfortunately, right now, and I'm not necessarily talking about your project, but unfortunately right now you'd have to sell the whole building to one owner because we don't have anything in place for duplexes.
Well, as a condominium style of ownership, there'll be no difference than Branson Creek.
So since it's a condominium, it is condominium style ownership.
They don't own the lot.
Right.
They own the building. They're part of the building. So, yes, the building would be whole ownership. The rest of it, they'll have to have a condominium association, which they don't own the land.
Mr. Brown, you're far...
Go ahead. I just want to ask Eddie a question.
Okay.
Are we following up on that and being advised as to who is responsible for these nightly rentals on this property where we've approved that?
I watch it some, yes, sir. I know like at Branson Canyon, they've not got anywhere near 80%. They don't have 80% of the project built out, but they do have an office on site that handles that. I've got one that's pretty iffy right now. I've been talking to Mr. Ashley with. It's something that he's going to have to be following. We've got a situation that exists, and I'd rather discuss that with you under old new business instead of holding these people up, if I could.
Okay, so it's coming back to my question, and I guess it's a marketing issue. You know, knowing where this is, far away from the Strip, why do you think somebody would be interested in nightly rentals in 14 different units? Why haven't you looked at fractional ownership and marketed, you know, selling it a month by month?
Well, number one, I mean, straightforward, I'm not a fan. I don't like that.
Okay.
The other part of it, too, is that I own a condo out on Table Rock, out in Stone County, that I do this exact thing with.
Okay.
And it works out well as far as my end being an owner, being able to rent it when I want to and use it when I want to, so that you know, it's not, I don't mess with points, I don't mess with any of that. I like having my own place. Mm-hmm. So that's a big, I think more than anything, it's what I'm familiar with. And I know that having, I know that the neighbors would not like a fractional ownership part of it, you know.
Well, they probably won't like nightly
rentals. Well, they probably won't like this either. But at the same time, you know, I'm not, uh-huh. I'm not inviting a big timeshare outfit in to come, you know, run tours and do all that in there. Really, I mean, you're 4 miles from Branson Hills Golf Course. You're close to downtown. It's a marketable area. It's not on the lake. It doesn't have, you know, crazy amenities. What I really am looking for is the ability to let out the units, for the owners to let out the units. The idea is, in my mind, is more than likely they would have it and use it, and maybe, you know, if they're seasonal or whatever, they can, when they're not here, they can rent it out that way.
Madam Chairman, if I could bring to your memory just a couple of things. You remember about 3 years ago when we first really got an immersion in this vacation owned by our vacation rental by owner. It was a tremendous, tremendous amount of structures on that. There's Home Away from Home, or Home.
Home Away.
Home Away. And Mr. Cox was still here. He was there. The Branson Market was a place where people came and wanted to buy a house, and this gave them the opportunity to have a second house and be able to afford it. It's huge in this area because this is a vacation destination. So that being said, just as Mr. Bronner's telling you here, he owns a place like that he does it. We know it goes on all over here, and as we see it, we try to make sure that it meets our requirements and everything. To set up a timeshare type operation brings in a whole lot of new rules and regulations from the state on how that's to be managed and handled and everything like that. It is pretty intensive. Basically what he's asking is, we've got a condominium project here. People want to come down and buy it for their second home, vacation home. They would come in and buy it, hold ownership as far as he's concerned, and then either through some kind of agreement with him or whoever's on site there, either he would list it or they would list it to be rented out by the week, by the month, by the day, however that might come down. But that's what our nightly rental program states.
But Eddie, last fall, didn't Branson, city of Branson, move away from this?
Mm-hmm.
And now we're moving right back in the opposite direction of what the city of Branson has done.
They went into their R1 district, if I'm not mistaken. It was strictly single-family residential, and said in the R1, and I could be wrong on the number here, we are not going to have any nightly rentals. But R1 in the city of Branson is a very, very tiny area. Okay, it didn't affect a whole lot. It's a small area. They have a lot of different residential zoning areas. So, but in those ones that were truly just single family residential, they wanted to protect that from this, and they said in that area, no. So, but then they have their own guidelines to approve this kind of thing in the other areas. Now, we can get you some information on that, Mr. Edwards, as far as what it is. Now, traditionally, what have you done? When we're in kind of densely populated single-family residential areas where they couldn't take care of the parking or anything like that in single-family freestanding homes, traditionally it's not been a good idea to request that in Dane County. There have been a couple places where we have done that. This is not really single-family homes. I do understand where it's at, you know, in this area here and everything, but like I say, this was already a condominium project, so he's not asking to build single-family homes and then turn them to nightly rentals. That's not what he's asking. He's got a condominium project here that is approved that he can build. He's wanting to change how it's usable.
Okay, so I guess one of my questions is, why do we need to hear this?
Because this was basically, when it's all sold out, it's residential. But you're giving it the right to be ran basically as a business.
Because if, like Eddie's saying, by the book, if I've read the book correctly, once it's a nightly rental, it's more of a commercial enterprise, or it's looked upon as more of a commercial use.
Right now, they can only rent those units for 30 days or more.
No, yes.
And he's basically asking to go from 30 days or more rental to less than 30 days.
Yes.
That's basically what he's asking.
If I bought a unit from Mr. Bronner and I said, well, I'm only going to be here 2 months out of the year, so I want to rent this out to somebody. They would have to rent it by the month, or I could say, you can live in it the 10 months that I'm not here, the other 2 I'm here, you're out.
Right.
But you know, as long as it was over a 30-day period of time, no problem. But under our code book, nightly rentals constitutes a commercial use and requires a special use permit for that area for that to happen, with whatever stipulations you might put on that.
Well, it just boils down to we're putting motels right out here in residential areas, what it really boils down to.
And again, that's for you to get to the bottom of and at public hearing to find out, and we'll get you whatever information you need on that and for you to make the decision. That's why, as a staff, we want to approve this. That is specific in our book, that it takes the action of this board to approve that. So,
Mr. Bronner, as nightly rentals, are you having to reconfigure the plat at all?
No, ma'am.
Are you allowing for more parking? Are you allowing for more recreational parking, like, you know, the RV, the boat, the...
If that is what's required, we definitely are a long way off from not having room. But as far as the parking for each unit... As it sits now, we originally, with the garages and the parking, are, I guess, way ahead of the game as far as having adequate parking.
I believe each side of these duplexes, when you come around to the back, has a two-car garage under there, if I'm not mistaken, but it also has parking out front.
You actually don't increase the density. You have the same amount of people, it'll just be different people.
Right.
Correct.
Exactly right. You change the use a little bit because somebody's living there.
Yeah, you might have more boat trailers and stuff because they're coming on vacation.
But basically, they can only have so many people there because there's only so many buildings, so many units.
Now, I'm familiar with the project. He's got room to park a lot of boats.
Yeah, down in this area here, there's a lot of room. I promise.
Yeah, but he's not short of room.
So, I mean, that's basically the project, and we, like I say, we'd be glad to answer any questions we can for you, anything like that, or research anything you like research. But.
Well, the question is also the future, and maybe not even you, but the how much more developable land is there? And according to that, there's quite a bit that you don't have property on. And,
you mean on strictly on my lot?
On that lot.
Yeah, well, actually there's...
That's how big is that lot?
It's 3 acres, or a little over.
I think it gave more than that on the thing.
It says 3 acres.
Yeah, 3.01.
But the land, south of Rosen, is that developable land?
Yes, ma'am. There
it's
is.
All about the same. Same slope.
It's not angle, but it's not.
Yeah, it's all about the same slope.
And then somewhere down in there, you're putting a treatment plant also.
Yes,
because
right.
This had to have its own treatment plant.
Yeah, that'll go down there in the corner.
Yeah.
So
it's not uncommon
for people to put some parking around the treatment plant for boat trailers and stuff like that. Keeps the thieves away.
Is it the will of the commission that you want this to go through the planning and zoning process with public hearing and...
I've never seen one turned down before, concept.
Well, maybe there was one. I can't remember what it was, but... So why not? But I think we need some good information because, for instance, the sewer treatment plant is a new kind of thing. And if it's only 3 acres, that's not a big bunch of territory to put 14 units on. So be prepared.
Okay.
And be prepared for those neighbors again who probably won't be very happy.
What kind of information as it pertains to the nightly rental?
I think we need whatever that plat was of the original thing, and if there are any changes, you're not going to change the location or anything.
Everything stays exactly the same.
The staff will make sure that you have the original preliminary layout of that and the decision of record, what was permitted, that kind of thing like that. So we'll supply a lot of this information there.
I guess it's not totally clear in my mind. You're going to retain ownership of the land.
No, sir.
No.
The condominium association will.
Correct.
The people who buy the
association will retain. Okay.
And
he's not going to get in the rental business, but there will be 14 owners there that will be in the rental business with the permission of this body.
Yes, sir. And usually in that situation, you require some kind of an on-site management or somebody that will.
Well, I mean, I can see it happening this year.
That's where I get involved. Is really the providing the on-site management.
You're asking if it's the
again,
same request.
The, why I'm attracted
it
to this
like
is,
that one?
Is that I've done
what you're asking
not just with mine, but I've
I don't think it's
at
that one, but
the place where mine
request.
Is, I've managed a few others
it's
for neighbors.
That's
so
I can understand it now.
Okay,
yeah,
so we'll see you in May. And if I remember correctly, May is on a Tuesday night. I was checking the schedule,
that's right.
And our first meeting in May, there's something. What is Monday? Monday is something.
It's
Truman's birthday. Harry Truman's birthday.
Harry Truman's birthday. It's a holiday.
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to have a meeting then.
Okay, so Mr. Broder will see you on the day after Harry Truman's birthday.
Yes, I will.
For a public hearing. Okay. Let's move on then to the Brass Lantern. Mr. Wolf, how are things in Cedar Creek?
Just about the way they were. They haven't changed any, I don't think.
Okay.
That's different. That's good.
Well, we tried to listen to what the boards had to say about take time when I brought it through and it was turned down, and then she had brought it through, I think, a year or two prior to that. And the issue on the first go around was there was no sewer plant down here to serve this property. I think that's what it was turned down for.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last time it was turned down for density in there. Well, this time we're proposing, you know, this is one lot up here that's already to itself. We're not going to build any new buildings. We want to sell the avenue with sewer. That's what we want to do. I mean, there the plat in here, there'll be, this will be a condominium unit. That'll be a condominium unit. There's two right here. There'll be two units there. Be a unit down here. This one here is two units there that will be sold as one. We're going to put in these two residential lots right here.
Y'all have this in front of you. They have this in front of you.
Yeah, I was going to clarify
basically, what we have there is one extra residential lot that would be here if you take these units and carry them through. That's what would be there. The sewer would be put in to serve every unit. The building stay as is, be sold as is. And that's what we're proposing to do as part of this company.
One thing I wanted to clarify, we did provide you with a copy of the current proposal that's highlighted, but there's also a copy of the past proposal as well.
So which one is which? Is the green one is the...
Is yeah, the one that's highlighted in green is the current proposal.
Okay.
But I just wanted to clarify that.
So the extra right-of-way would be given for the road up here and everything, and... Taking the two times I've been through here before and turned down, we tried to take those two in consideration with what we're presenting to you now. Because there was a lot of concern that these cabins would be tore down, they wouldn't be built back, they'd be an eyesore or whatever. We're saying they'll stay exactly as they are sold to somebody else. You know, that's what we're proposing.
Is lot 2 and 3 going to be hooked to the sewer also?
Every lot in here will be hooked to the sewer.
I think that was a major concern for the commission.
Well, right now, the sewer system down there, that resort, probably barrels or, you know, it could be anything. You don't know. And this will be a sewer treatment facility that will be permitted by the Tannehill County Sewer Board and DNR. Mm-hmm. It will have to be built with those specifications with the people of the city.
Explain that community well to me, Eddie. You know I like to deal with water.
Community well is just a bigger well that will serve more. Multifamily, I think, serves up to 21 people. And a commercial well.
There's not a well. In other words, a well is going in to do this. There's not.
There's a well now.
Well, I understand that, but.
Yeah.
But
there's a well in here sufficient to serve this now in there, on there. The only reason you need a big well like you're used to dealing with the water district is to serve anything above 21 feet.
Well, that's not my concern. Of course, the regulations are changing daily on water service, and I'm just wondering if you're going to be able to meet with the existing well or what the plans were for the...
That's what they're planning on doing
today, because, I mean, being on a community well is not like it used to be.
That's right. They're... You know, that's what, you know, the well down there now is a multi-family well. And that's what's real there, to the best of my knowledge.
Because with the water district, we ran into that all the time, and people go out there and they come by and do a few water tests, and next thing you know, they'd be walking on the water district there.
Right.
And not only our district, but several others. And so I just wondered, and there isn't anything else there available on that.
I think with regulations, I know Ray may know better than I do, because he's down in that area, I think with the resort there being run, there has to be water tests sent in every month to DNR to check the water, since it's serving the public.
I don't know, Eddie.
I think all of those wells...
There should be.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd like to know about that, really, before...
I can ask that question, but...
Do, please.
But, you know, I haven't asked that question to them, but I would think any commercial operation, this thing has been run that way for... what's been run as a resort, right? Since 50?
Oh, it was built back in the early 60s.
Early 60s.
So if you're serving 21 people, you have to have a licensed operator to take care of the water.
This
At Cedar Creek, probably not, but you're supposed
to. Well, this lot is part of it.
I understand that. But you understand that we're asked to approve something that wouldn't meet public health.
Number, let me make it clear, the number 21 was the number I was using as far as DNR regulations. That's kind of cut off of multifamily.
Yeah.
This lot, but Eddie, is there going to be a new well put in this?
That's what we got planned there.
New well.
Uh-huh.
And the existing, the people are there now then would be cut off of, they'd stay on the well they're on. I said.
No, the well would probably end up serving the whole thing. The new well would.
The whole resort.
Uh-huh.
All those individuals.
The ones inside the development here, the ones would be the 1, 2, 3, 4,
so five, right here,
from the water.
No, I'm talking about the other houses that exist down there now.
Mr. Edwards,
other people have it.
Yeah.
There's no plans to serve them.
Okay, that's what I...
Mr. Edwards, there's two lots, I mean two different wells out there now, commercial wells that are serving this subdivision. This lot is part of that subdivision. and everything. Now, I believe there's been some well work done out there recently, too.
Yeah, I'll check on the well so we can get a good...
But
you know, I'd like to have a good picture of that if you don't care.
But originally she was going to put in a commercial well for this particular part of this so it wouldn't affect the rest of the subdivision. And the subdivision, the rest of the subdivision has two different wells, one for half of it and one for the other half.
Well, the sewer system, it'll only serve these particular cabins.
It's
also
only large enough to serve what we're proposing.
And I think everything else around there is on septic, is it not?
That's correct. There's not a service sewer.
I didn't think there was.
Any house all the way up the road, everything's on septic.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out your proposal here. It says you are going to split the property into five condo units, four residential units, and a treatment plant lot. That means nine units. Okay, let me finish, because then what it says, the property has seven units on it at the present time. How do those seven existing units fit into the nine units that you're proposing when you split five condo units and four residential units?
This is how I'm counting them all. Just making it real quick.
Okay.
This here is a lot by itself now because of the
right.
It sits over there. So that's one of the lots right there. We've got a existing cabin there. We've got an existing cabin there. We've got one there, one there. There's a house there. This one here's got two units in it there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're taking one, two, three, four, five, six, and making five out of it.
Okay.
Okay, so we got an extra one. Then we've got two residential lots right here on your drawing.
Okay.
So we're taking one of those, so we've got one extra residential lot compared to the number of units that's there now. Because this is already a lot by itself.
And though there is no real estate on the residential lots now?
No.
Okay.
They're raw land.
Okay.
Eddie, this building here will have to be sold as one unit. Am I right? I mean, you can't split that.
No, we're going to split it into two.
I thought they were so close together that you could.
Condominium.
Okay, all right, you're right.
It's called property.
That's one lot down here.
Yep.
Okay.
So, in other words, Sarah,
okay,
one of the lots that we're talking about here, one of the lots is the utility lot.
Right.
Which normally in development, that is not called a lot like a residential
right.
lot or a condominium.
Okay.
So that one is there, okay? Then we would have the buildings, all the condominium area here would all be platted into one big lot so it could be put into the condominium.
Okay, right.
So there's one lot there for the utility. There's a lot there for the condominium. There's a lot here for this residential lot, a lot there for that residential lot. And we could make this one residential or condominium, whichever you would prefer. Then there'd be a residential there. It would be a utility lot right here for the well.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand what you have said here in your request.
There should be one extra residential lot compared to the number of units we got when you take out the utility lot
right.
and not counting that one because it already exists across the road.
Okay. And when you use the term four residential units, you're talking about existing real estate property.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about when I say residential, they would have, say, a person from out of state bought one of those lots. They might want to build a rusty log cabin on it. They might want to put up a small...
Okay, but that's not my question. My question is, when I see the word unit, it means that there's a building.
There's no buildings now. There would be buildings.
Okay,
buildings
then maybe unit is the wrong word here.
It could be. That could be true.
Okay, so what it says is split property into five condo units, and I understand where those are, and four residential units... comma.
Four residential lots.
Okay, that's my question.
Okay, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Okay.
What about space, Eddie? Is there enough space here for all this?
Yeah.
Meets our code.
Current code. 8,000 square foot lots. You've got enough road frontage.
Well, Eddie, I'm going to get back to my question again that I had before. What kind of assurance can we have that this will be developed and not be tore up, walked away from like the airport? That's my concern. I'm not opposed to the project if it was going to be built and finished like we normally expect one to be built.
There's nothing I can do or say to guarantee you that. There's nothing I can do.
Can the developer do anything?
The developer's got rules that's in your code book they're supposed to follow. And they bond it the way the code book says. They will have to go in and build the sewer treatment plant before any of this can be sold or platted, unless they put up a letter of credit bonding that engineer's estimate plus 15%. That is what the code book says, and that's what they're obligated to do, nothing beyond that. The only obstruction they would have out there, the way we're presenting this, is to put the sewer plant in and the connection lines up to the various units. There wouldn't be no earth moving out there other than that, because everything else is in place.
Well, if I knew it was going to be built, I'd support it 100%. But we don't need another airport project in that area. And
well,
that's,
you know, it kind of boils down to this in the code book. You know, it says what we've got to do. It doesn't say anything in there if you've got an opinion that you turn it down. If they meet the code, they should be able to do it. Now, I know what's happened in the past. I understand your concerns totally. But they're trying to follow the code, and we're trying to do this right, but you've got to give them the opportunity to show them that they can. They're not going to sell it if they don't do it right. Mm-hmm.
And as he said, they'll either have to bond all the infrastructure and everything before they can sign a plat and sell anything, or they have to put it all in before the plat will be signed.
That's correct.
They haven't done that on the airport. All that is a corrupt hillside and a pile of dirt.
There was some issues and everything, but and Mr. Wolf knows what's platted and what's not. But
I think that's right.
There's not a lot platted. I think maybe seven lots are actually platted out.
Yeah, I think by the board's permission, they've got the plat was in the first stage.
Right.
Visiting it as the first stage, which you're probably. Mm-hmm. I would guess in there probably two-thirds of it left to plat. Right.
And so what you have basically is a minor sub. And
well, we actually killed the minor sub and platted it as a subdivision because the minor sub was so messed up that you couldn't do anything with it.
And for better or for worse, the reality is that we have to deal with these projects discreetly. And I think that's the right word that I want, or individually.
You know, I know there's some hard feelings with what's happened in the past, but, you know, a person should have the right to do something with the property. And they come back to you and try to show good faith that they're trying to listen to the board and present it where it would be the least amount of destruction to try to sell it. And that's what we're trying to do, like nothing more. If there is anything more, we can't do it anyhow because the board won't permit it. Mm-hmm. And that's all we're trying to do.
So, I guess we see you.
May 10th.
On the first Tuesday.
Yes.
Second Tuesday.
That will be the first Tuesday.
Of May. Okay.
Second Tuesday.
Okay. Anything else?
Well,
any old and new business?
If I could go back, I'm sorry.
No.
If I could go back and address just two things for you real quick.
She hadn't got any money.
One of these deals is when we were talking about the nightly rentals. Most of the time when we approve nightly rentals, we want to make sure there's somebody there, an on-site management company or something of the sort, to go that way. What happened out of the place off 86 out there with the golf courses on the left. The developer went bankrupt, lost the bank. All of the owners out there took it upon themselves to continue renting their properties in a nightly rental situation without the benefit of an on-site management company just doing it through the internet. There's a new developer coming in. He came and talked to me. I told him, you know, that there was an on-site management company there to answer questions and everything like that. So it's something they're trying to work out. But be aware that You've got about probably 15 to 18 cabins out there that are being individually rented on the internet. And if you've been out there, tiny little streets and not a whole lot of instruction about that. Also, there's still, they came to my attention the week that Mr. Ash has started here.
Where is that, Eddie, that you're talking about?
If you go out to 86, if you cross out to 86, you take a right. You go out, like you're on Big Cedar, mm-hmm. right after you pass Big Cedar, I mean, just right past, on the left there. It was Bradford's project.
Okay.
And everything. We're getting questions about, you're going to see some of these people come through that want to do their individual nightly rental out there. The project was approved for it to start with, but now it's just kind of free range and everything like that. And the new developer out there that we discussed a few months ago would like to offer the services. Of course, when you offer somebody services, that always comes with cost. And of course, the owners out there right now don't want the extra cost because that means less profit. But normally in a nightly rental situation, we make sure that they've handled emergency situations, clean up and everything like that in the event that they're going to have nightly renters. The call to me on this one is a guy that has two cabins out there. He lives in Florida. So he's not the person to call if you need to know where to park your boat trailer or something like that. So bring up speed on that, but that is something that we normally do, and that was one that fell out of compliance, and I don't know exactly what it's going to take to get it back in, but be aware that that's out there.
Well, Eddie, the only reason I raised the question is when I first came on the board, we were pretty strict on not allowing nightly rental in residential. Mm-hmm. And one of the hot spots that we had over here was the Maid property.
Yes, indeed.
Poverty Point that we turned down. And then we had another one, I forget the name of it, in that same area.
In that same area, yes, sir.
But as we go along and I realize the economy's tough and these builders have got in trouble, we keep having more and more nightly rental, more and more nightly rental in residential. And I don't know, maybe we'd be better off just back off of that and let anybody have nightly rental. Because I like to be consistent with everybody, and we're certainly not being consistent by every time some builder's in trouble, we expand him into nightly rental, yet we've turned others down. So I'd like to get on one side of the fence or the other.
We always have to entertain the request because it's in our book.
I understand.
I'm not for this or against it. It doesn't affect me one way or the other. This is not your typical residential neighborhood. I will tell you that. And this is not a single family home coming to you with that request. but again, you have to look at it and say, is this going to affect that neighborhood in an adverse way? But that's your decision to make. We just present you the project, and we're going to give you all the information we can get. Because we present it to you doesn't mean we're for it or against it. It's just they've come in and said, can we do this? And we say, well, we got a board that can tell you yes or no. The other issue was zoning, Mr. Stewart. It used to be in Zane County that all permits, Division 2, 1, 2, or 3, were issued with a lifetime of 1 year, and they had to be renewed.
I'm well aware of that because I was the one that put that in effect.
Right. And on the Division 3, you could have three renewals, which gave you a total of 4 years. Yeah. And if you haven't done anything, then that project had to come back before the board. Under legal counsel, I guess last year, they began to look at that and say, well, you know, actually what we're granting is a zoning change for this property. And unless the project changes from what it was originally approved, we really don't have the right to make it revert back to what it was just because it wasn't built. So counsel came before this board and kind of explained the situation, had the board re-look at that, and the board sent to the commissioners proposal that when we basically grant a land use change or a zoning change, kind of trying to dovetail a little bit into what's going to be happening in the future, that's what it should change to. Whether it's built or not, we've changed that zoning to this. And that doesn't have to be renewed. That gives the investors or the owners or whatever the case the opportunity to invest in that property without the fear of losing everything, because now some homes have spread up around it or something like that because the neighborhood's changed a little bit.
Well, supposedly compliance incentives would go with tax rates on it when it gets zoned that way if it was working like it should.
You would think.
Yeah.
if you received a commercial rating, that your taxes would go up into commercial. However, now in the three counties around here, until you actually begin to utilize the property by building, that the taxes don't change.
But it does in lots and subdivisions.
Yes, sir. It appears it does.
And that's always been my understanding as well, is that they assess based on the use of the property, but I have heard that as well.
I go on the internet right now and find all kinds of disparities in Taney County on taxes.
Yeah.
So, but you're right, if it gets planted as a subdivision and it's all there and ready to be sold, they will change it from agricultural to residential. There's some other criteria that they look at.
Well, I understand the argument both ways. I just always thought it was a lot simpler, of course.
But
I didn't seek legal counsel when I suggested it to begin with.
It's something we dealt with, and we didn't seek legal counsel, but we got it.
I do need current copies so I don't get up here and make a fool of myself more than I usually do.
We'll need to update all the pages, or it may be a good time just to give everybody a book. There shouldn't be any more changes in the real near future.
What has there ever been a ruling on the duplex?
I don't think so.
You had several issues before the commission, one of them dealing with the recommendation you sent in November on duplexes, one dealing with the subdivision of land, and then we have four pending issues from the previous year that was put together in a packet and submitted for a meeting. That meeting did not materialize. It is something that Mr. Ashley is aware of and something that he will have.
Is that supposed to be done within so many days? Or it becomes a fact of what we decided, I believe.
I'll go back and do that research. I know what you're referring to.
I believe it's supposed to be within 45
days. If it's not acted on within so many days, it becomes law.
45 or 95?
I don't.
Then it becomes law if they don't act on it.
We'll research that and let you know next meeting. You know what he's referring to? So let us research that and see. And we'll bring you the other documentation that we've got on that.
Because it's apparent to me that we're way over the time limit.
Yes, sir. We presented that back to them on duplexes
and stuff
in November.
They didn't act on it.
Mm-hmm. And then asked for another meeting in February, I believe it was. I'll get you that documentation and everything. But
I believe it's in this paper right here that's on the table, I believe.
Is there anything else? I understood that Mr. Strahan was going to come address this board.
I think he will do that next time.
Okay.
One thing I thought I'd bring up just really briefly is, of course, one thing, and I don't know what this Planning and Zoning Commission's feel is on this, to be honest with you, is whenever I was first brought in, one of the things that I think we're looking at is a possible transition over a period of time to a more traditional form of zoning, where we have zoning districts on a map, and I mean we're early on, but I just wanted to bring that up that I do think over a period of time we'll have to make this transition, partially just to make sure that we comply with the state statutes, just to make sure that everything is in compliance. That's one thing I'm looking at now. We did make that transition over the last couple of years in Christian County, and I think it's gone fairly well. I think in a lot of ways, traditional zoning is actually easier to deal with in a lot of ways. Things are a lot more defined. They're a lot more black and white. And I just wanted to bring that up, that we were, you know, looking at heading that direction.
Okay. Okay. Will we have a nightly rental zone?
Well, and that kind of goes back to your earlier question. What you could look at with a more traditional form of zoning is limiting nightly rentals based on the zoning designation, based on the zoning district. And so you could have something zoned single-family residential and basically not allow nightly rentals within a single-family residential district.
Taney County's always been very difficult on that because he's out of Cedar Creek, and he represents that township down there, and I represent one over here at Wallachie, and there is different interests and different feelings for each township, and we're put on this board to represent our township. I mean,
I agree with
you. It
doesn't
matter what we think. If we have to try to deal with what the zoning laws are and try to deal with what the people in our township want. And that's one thing that traditional zoning is, they found it in the past. It's been very, very difficult because, I mean, there's a few old hard heads down there at Cedar Creek.
Well, and I understand.
I can't imagine the traditional zoning in Cedar Creek changing much from what it is today, though. It's agriculture.
And that's what I was going to bring up as well. Is
it looked exactly the same as it looks today.
The way it there's was approached in Christian County.
Well, that doesn't mean that everything changes to commercial all in Cedar Creek.
No, I didn't say that. It did. But, I mean, it's... I haven't been through this.
It ain't just Cedar Creek.
No.
When you get east of Forsyth,
that's right.
You got a different
draw a line.
You got a county split. What you got?
That's right.
Whether you want to admit it or not.
Well, sure.
And you've got requests over here, no doubt that's different than down there.
And I agree with you. I do.
That's one of the problems.
And a lot of it is that's why the first zoning map's got to be based on the use of the land.
So if everything...
Existing use, and so if it's an agricultural piece of land, it'll basically be zoned agricultural.
If everything's agricultural now, right? If it's not something else, it's agricultural. And if you want to change it to something else, what do you have to do?
You have to come
to the board. So if everything east of Forsyth, and I've spent a lot of time over there, I know. If everything east of Forsyth is zoned commercial and traditional zoning, what do you have to do if you want to change it?
Exactly.
Come before the board. You have to do the exact same thing you're doing now. There's no difference.
But if you
don't sell me, you sell them people.
Hey, I'm just saying there is no difference in the process except now we've got a map.
Right. I mean, it's feasible that you could. There is commercial areas out in that, of course, and it's feasible that you could go in and buy a piece of property that's already zoned commercial out there, and then you have rights by ownership without having to go back before the board.
Right.
But you could go buy a piece of agricultural land and come before the board to have it changed just like you do now, and then you'd have those same rights.
Just exactly like you have to do now. I know you said those people, and I don't mean it like that, but that's what you said. Those people still have to do that now.
You think of traditional zoning, and you think R1, R2, and then you go right down the line and you lay it all out. If you're not going to do that and lay it out, what's different than what we're doing now?
Well, you do lay it out. Where it needs to be laid out. The rest of it's agriculture.
Okay, you go over there on Cedar Creek and say, okay, this is going to be commercial right through here because it's down close to the lake.
Why does any of it have to be commercial?
We're not talking future land planning.
No.
Yeah.
We're talking existing use.
Well, what's the difference between that and what are we going to gain then if we go right back to what we're doing now?
Well, being really frank, a lot of the problems we have now, and I don't know that I want to get into it too much on the record necessarily, but there was a legal opinion handed down in Stone County where essentially the judge ruled that the form of zoning that we've had in Christian, Stone, and Taney County is invalid.
Oh, I'm aware of that. I went down and been threatened here on this.
And one of the...
That judge didn't enter into Taney County, did he?
No.
He has no record on Taney County.
Unless someone was to bring suit.
And Taney County is a first-class county, and Stone County is not.
And
so you've got two different issues there.
I do agree with you there. But, I mean, just to ensure that we're in compliance with the state regulations even, it is one reason in Christian County why they made this transition. And I'll be honest, the eastern half of Christian County, there is a huge difference between the western half and the eastern half of Christian County as well.
I sat in the courtroom and heard Harry Styron tell us that we were illegal as could be. We just weren't doing it right. And that he was going to do something about it, and he did in Stone County.
I think for the biggest part, you won't notice a whole lot of changes. You may see somebody now have a designation. They've been living in this house. It's been residential. It's still residential. It's got a designation. And under that designation, you'll have rights of ownership. We've got some people out in on the east side here that they're selling feed on part of their farm. They came in and got a designation for that. Right now, Payne County requires 2 acres for that kind of thing, so this man has several hundred acres, but 2 acres of it is dedicated to this commercial operation. And so when you would go out to zone, he would have agriculture here, he would have his commercial here, and because that's existing use, and what these zone districts are basically going to do is just define what's out there, not create corridors, not do anything to start with. And in the future, could that happen? I suppose it could. That's not what's been asked. It's been asked to define existing use, and then this man that's selling feed out there, he has rights by ownership for his commercial land. If he wants to expand that or change or something like that, he doesn't come back to see you again because he's got his zoning.
He does, right, but not today.
He got into the land split one time, and then he's going to get in trouble the next time he wants to give one of his kids 5 acres.
But that happens today.
It sure does.
That's no different than the way it is today.
I didn't say it was different. I said that's the way the code reads now, that you can give you...
And that's where you're going to get the opportunity as we sit here and pick out those
districts. That could be an improvement.
To define what was out there. That's where you're going to get the opportunity to look at that and say, here's some changes that we've been hearing need to be changed, and that's your opportunity to change that. So,
and to be completely honest with you, and it is a hard thing to inform people of this, but in a lot of ways, this actually backs the government off a little bit because there's less. Right now, if you want to change your use in any way, you seek approval in a public hearing process. Under traditional zoning, once something's zoned, as long as what you're doing fits the parameters of that zoning district, a lot of times you would be seeking...
Yeah. That guy that has that trailer for that feed out there right now, if he has to come back and he wants to build a building or put a restaurant out there or anything else, he has to come back and ask us again. If he was zoned traditionally in that little 2 acres, he could do whatever he wanted that fell within that without having to come back.
Exactly.
That's less government involvement.
Exactly.
It's not more.
And so in a lot of ways, and it's hard to get that across, but in a lot of ways, it actually it actually regulates less. There are fewer public hearings that are required because the parameters are already set up, basically, at the front end.
Well, I assume that engineering firm's still working on that.
Well,
not
no.
They're not?
They're on hold.
They basically requested that the staff begin writing.
You don't assume anything.
These new regulations.
I didn't know that. I was expecting that to hit us any time. I didn't know.
Say that with more conviction.
Yeah, relax.
Maybe I'll outlive. Yeah.
but I've got a question for.
I didn't want to start any kind of animosity or friction or
anything.
It's
not animosity. It's just it's an informative.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's always
exactly,
a good discussion.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. My intent was just to put it out on the table.
That's
just
why
to
we're
be
all here. We're
okay,
all here.
Mr. Pingleton, you said you had a question.
I've got a question. You know what it's about, and I don't want to take a bunch of time. But is there anything turned in on the racetrack?
Do you want to fill them in, or do you want me to?
Short version.
Nothing has been turned in as far as the application. I don't remember if the last time we met. I told you that he and his engineer had been in, sat down with us, and we expect to see something around the 15th or 16th as far as that's concerned. We did attend a meeting on Friday.
Friday, yeah.
That it was being held out of heater center where they were bringing in different groups, school board superintendents, different groups of people kind of explaining what's going on, state senators, all kind of stuff out there and everything. Mr. Ashley did ask me during that, when do you think you're going to do this? And I happened to be out of the room at the time that was asking, so I'll let you pick it up there, Bob.
That was one of my questions. They went on to talk about this House bill that is likely going to be passed that allows the federal government or Missouri's government to reimburse for like these infrastructure chain improvements and all this. And they were talking about various things and how they had all the support. And then they stated that they wanted to have a meeting with the neighboring property owners in the upcoming weeks. And my first question was, well, if we're going to be looking at public meetings, we probably need to start the process with the Planning and Zoning Commission. We need to start this process and get this underway. And they just said, oh, yes, we're aware of that. We're going to begin that process. Now, at this point, they have not.
But on the news this morning, it said that the racetrack south of Branson was a go.
Well, and, again, and just...
by the state legislature.
Somewhere along the way, we're already are getting an egg on our face as a Planning and Zoning Commission because we have no teeth, it seems like. And I just, in a paper, the opinion page, of course, but I just letter to the editor, when do the adjacent property owners find out how hard it will be to get in and out of their homes on race day? No discussion with said owners has been attempted, yet earth movers, blasting, etc. goes on throughout the day, night and day. Does this not need to be brought to Planning and Zoning, or has, and he says Mr. Cox, but I'm pretty sure we know who he means, managed to bypass the rules all other residents must abide by? I agree 100% with what that person has to say. Every citizen is no different, no better, no worse. We need to treat them 100% equal, no more, no less. And any citizen who does work ahead of time that expects that's going to make a difference on how we vote is rolling the dice. I don't know if I'm for or against the project or not. Haven't seen it. Now, in another paper, it stated that until the meantime, it would be this resident's name, Farms. Okay? And I wanted to look at our development code because I want to make sure I did not misspeak. So I just... in Chapter 1, Page 3, the provisions of this code should not apply to the raising of crops, livestock, orchards, or forestry, not to seasonal or temporary impoundments used for rice farming or flood irrigation. As used in this provision, the term rice farming or flood irrigation means small berms of no more than 18 inches high that are placed around a field to hold water for use for growing rice or for flood irrigation. This code should not apply to the erection, maintenance, repair, alteration, or extension of farm buildings or farm structures used for such purposes in an area not within the area shown in the flood hazard map. Farm buildings and structures are barns, farrowing houses, machine sheds, poultry houses, sheds, and other structures not meant for human habitation or occupancy. Farm buildings and structures are exempt from all provisions of the development codes if they are located on agricultural property. Agriculture. All farm enterprises such as cropland, forage production, animal husbandry, dairy and poultry, silviculture, floriculture, and viticulture. I have no interest in stopping farmers from doing what they do for a living. But what's happening here is a so-called loophole Mr. Cook has taken advantage of, and what it's going to happen is we're going to have to make more rules, which I hate more rules, to close a loophole, which all that's going to do is then affect the law-abiding farmers in Taney County. I don't want to do that. Okay, now that's only my opinion, but that's straight out of our own code book that was adopted 98, 94, 96, 98. 88, 94, 96, 98, 2003, 2004. It's not new. We have got to do something about that, and I would really like that to be passed on to our commissioners if we can't do anything about it. Because there should not be work going on out there at all, regardless of what DNR says. He ain't planting corn.
I would agree with you 100%.
You know where the quarry is on Buchanan Road?
Yes. But that's also mining. I like it, but that's mining.
No, that's not how it's listed. That started out long before they had permits in Taney County, and they were labeling for a subdivision.
Yeah, see? And now look at it. And there's another one. There's one. We're dealing with another one. Don.
Started by Mr. Yeah. Homer Poland.
Yep, that's right.
Well, I know that's right. Right now.
There are land disturbance permits in place through DNR and through Taney County.
But are there bonds in place?
Yes, sir, on the land disturbance there is. But he's not brought anything out of the ground. He's not constructed a structure of any kind or anything like that. And
so
we don't have the right to issue any permits for that.
See, and so, and of course, we don't want to limit the amount of acreage that somebody can disturb. I get that, because if you're turning over wheat fields or you're turning over, you don't want to make that an issue for farmers. But he's not doing that here.
I agree with you, but he's also not...
That's what I'm talking about, loopholes, though.
Yeah, right.
Okay? That's a loophole.
And we have a rule on that.
And he's politicking in the papers to try to affect a vote. And I'm not saying I'm for or against it. All I'm saying is that follow the same rules that everybody else in Taney County is required to follow. And he shouldn't be allowed to politic in the papers to affect our votes, and he's not going to affect mine. I may vote for it, but I don't know. And he needs to understand that I'm pretty sure, I'm only speaking for myself, but I'm pretty sure everybody in this commission is not going to be pushed around by somebody politicking everywhere, and that vote will be changed. He's taken a huge risk.
Is there anything at all that the staff can do now? I mean, I understand the politics with the commission.
I know, honey, at this point, a land disturbance permit's been issued, and we have a bond in place for that earth disturbance.
They've already agreed to.
Now, like you said, he is taking a big risk in doing this at the front end.
If it does, if it gets turned down, our bonds are not going to come close to covering what will happen to his poor neighbors there, and everybody. I don't care how big your property is, has neighbors.
Has there been an
everybody.
Emergency permit, an emergency waiver?
No, sir.
By the commission, like
I think that'll happen
out here.
No, we're in a situation right now to where he doesn't need another permit from us at this juncture because he's not building anything. Yes, we all have read in the newspaper, and we've been to meetings and drawings and all this stuff and everything. And matter of fact, it's a lot more extensive than what you've seen in the newspaper. But the fact of the matter is, he does have permits to disturb land out there. Whether he digs it down or builds it up or whatever, as long as the sediment erosion control plans are in place and satisfy the Department of Natural Resources and aren't causing an issue downstream, and he's not coming out of the ground with any kind of a building or anything like that.
But if I'm not mistaken, this morning at 5 o'clock on Channel 10, that it said that the racetrack at Branson was approved and was a go and approved by the legislature.
That's why you're not supposed to watch early television.
Yeah. What are you doing watching television at
5? I've never turned the television on at our house in the morning.
I don't
know about that.
I think part of the problem, too, is I think there's been a lot of confusion, and I don't want to speak on this, but I think, I mean, even during this meeting we attended, they spoke a great deal about the legislature approving this House bill, and really all this House bill did was allow for basically a recouping of infrastructure costs, like
a tax break.
And pay
yeah.
And they get money back.
But that's the thing I tried to bring up in the meeting Friday, was it in no way is an approval of the use or
of
the project.
And I think
of the development.
Ray Weeder at least mentioned that. At least
exactly,
I saw it in the
exactly.
paper.
Exactly. I saw that same article as well.
Where's this case up here on 160 stand?
He actually mentioned he just filled the court.
He is still pending in court.
Oh, I like Ray.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
So there's nothing fundamental
but I know if you
that planning and zoning can do, so we can't send a certified letter or anything notifying him of the requirements
always,
of the process.
We can always notify that, again, that, this is not sitting well, and that statement was made to them that the way you're going about this is not sitting well, with a lot of people, and you really need to get this through with planning and zoning before you go much further.
Well, I'm just thinking, the CYA thing. How
that's
do we
exactly,
protect
that's what I'd like
the credibility?
And we appreciate that, and we understand that, but I believe we're covered as much as we can. If we go out and try to force something, we're actually going to be overstepping our boundaries at this time, I think.
And that would be
not a matter of politics or anything like that. It's just right now, until he wants to do something different than move dirt around, we're covered.
And he can currently legally blast at 2 in the morning if he wants to.
No, sir, there's a blasting law in place.
Yeah, there's blasting law.
And he is adhering to that. He does have his size monitor set up.
Okay.
He is registered with the Reston-Tenney County Fire District, and they are aware of what's going on.
And what is the thing with the Department of Transportation and getting them to create traffic relief things or intersection improvements?
Well, they've talked with them about the restructuring of several different intersections, and which has prompted this bill that you're hearing. In that, it takes a while for MoDOT and those people to get everything in line and get the project all done and everything. But the developer's willing to front the money for this so that this work can start and be in place. And then as it comes onto MoDOT's calendar, then MoDOT would reimburse them for what they've got into that infrastructure.
The thing that is interesting, though, is I'm not certain... even though this legislation is possible, it sounds like this has been adopted or is in place, I don't think MoDOT is certain. Basically, I don't know if MoDOT has a funding source to fund
probably
this.
Probably not
I
at
mean,
this time.
Really, realistically. Mm-hmm. And so even if the legislation's there and has been approved, if the funds aren't there, it doesn't necessarily mean at this point that they'll the developer will get a payment.
MoDOT is very hesitant to implement more taxes on gasoline at this point.
Exactly.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? Okay, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
It's been moved. We adjourn. Let's do it. Meeting closed. Okay.
I'll just get